Today on Real Life Radio.
You can get rich today, no matter what your financial status is or is not in life. You can get rich quick today if you'll listen to what the Bible has to say about what true riches are and how you can have an absolute transformation in your life.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, let me tell you about our current featured resource. It's a book by J.I. Packer called Knowing God. A lot of us long for a deeper relationship with God. Packer really helps us to understand that once you dive into the nature and character of God, you'll begin to feel the freedom that you've longed for. So pick up your copy of Knowing God for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called How to Get Rich Quick Part 1 begins in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verses 10 through 13. Now, in these four verses, the Apostle Paul shares with us on how to be content in every circumstance we face in this life. True riches come from Christ and what He did on the cross to give us salvation. He is our reason to rejoice in all things, knowing that our names are written in the book of life. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us to do good to all, especially to those who are hurting. As believers, we're not exempt from suffering, but we can get rich quick when we continue to serve others in spite of our own hardships. And now continuing his lesson called How to Get Rich Quick Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Verse 10, Philippians 4, Paul says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity, not that I speak in regard to need." Or in other words, I'm not asking you guys for anything. "For I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. I know how to be abased, that is, have absolutely nothing, abject poverty. And I know how to abound," that means to have actually more food and more clothing than he could use. "Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Here it is, verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Can you highlight that verse in your Bible, circle that and mark it? If you were to go down to the Christian bookstore and get memory cards on scripture memorization, you will most definitely find this verse in that stack of memory verses. We have taken this verse and used it to the point where we have actually lost the context of what it means. For example, you and I may grab that verse, and now I don't golf, but I'll use this as an example. If you go out tonight or today or tomorrow to golf, and you're gonna be with your friends who are better golfers than you are, and you wanna impress them, you might say, "Lord, before I hit this ball, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It's not gonna work. This is not a Lucky Charm verse. It's not the Christian rabbit's foot. You might be somewhere, or maybe you're, you know, heading out on that deal, and you gotta close that deal. You gotta make that sell, and you might say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," and you kind of muster yourself up. That's not gonna work for you. That's not how the verse is to be leaned upon. The context demands that for the Christian, we are in situations, listen, that are dangerous. If you're a note taker, verse 13 applies to an overriding atmosphere of danger. The one danger is being in great need. When we're in great need, we're tempted to covet. When we're in great need, we are tempted to want what somebody else has, or to think thoughts like, "Hey, how come they've got that? I'm a better person than they are, and I don't have that." Great danger. You can be in poverty today and think that you're somehow more righteous because you don't have anything. And yet down deep inside secretly, you're coveting what people have. Danger. Poverty can lead to danger. But so can plenty. Paul is saying, I've learned. You see, what do you have to learn about following Jesus when you've got an overabundance? Oh, it may be even more dangerous. The Bible warns us over and over again that we can become so prosperous and so blessed, even by God, that we wind up focusing our eyes rather on the blessor, on the blessings. And the Bible warns us that our wealth can sprout wings and fly away. That's a graphic picture in your mind. So wealth and poverty need to be handled by the Spirit of God, who uses the Word of God. And that's what Paul is going to be teaching us from personal experience. And we need to exercise this. This is going to be a really practical couple of weeks on how to deal with the station and the situation of our lives where we're at. All of us, right here, right now. Because we want things to go a certain way, and we've been conditioned to think that if we just apply ourselves in a certain way, we're going to have results. That somehow, even as Christians, God owes us. I've given, I've prayed, I've done this, I've done that. Now, God, just make this deposit. Wrong. Listen, right now, across the parking lot, on the west side of the parking lot, there's a place called LA Fitness. I can see it from here. And there's people there. There's always people there. That place is always packed out. What are people doing in there? There are some people that are in there, and they're in a regimen of rehabilitation. Maybe they broke their leg, or somehow they're injured, and they're going through, a doctor has written them a note, and they go, right? There may be some people that are there that they want to improve their health. That's fantastic. You know, have you been over there? Or have you been to something like that? Have you know, the walls are lined in mirrors. Why is that? Well, there are people there wanting to see, and there are people there wanting to be seen. And for whatever motive, they're there, and they're working out, and they're grooming themselves, and I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying this, that it's eventually all for naught. Now, if you work out and you take care of yourself, that's great. But listen, just as you do that, in the same token, in the same genre as it, where you're to be doing that spiritually. Are you working out spiritually? Are you training spiritually? Go ahead and spend an hour at the gym, but spend the rest of your day working out in the things of the Spirit in your life. It's okay. But what the world views as success, and it's tragic to report this to you, but it's no stranger to you. The church today has been sold a bill of goods that the Christian ought not to suffer. The Christian shouldn't have anything wrong going in their lives, or that which is perceived as wrong. I'm not going to call out names. It's sad. But if you look online, if you like YouTube preachers begging for money, you ought to do that. Not now. Do it after church. It'll make you sick to your stomach, because these buffoons, I have to control myself right now. These people, there's a certain guy, by the way, who said, hey, to his congregation, God wants me to have a Gulfstream G50 jet. I know there's only 7 of them in the world, but God wants me to have one. And so God told me to tell you, all you people, to pay for it. And 3 months later, he had it. And the Bible talks about people like this. The Bible warns that there are people in the last days that will appear, and I believe it's those people that use the preaching of the Word of God as a way of gain, whose God is their belly, whose desires are their motivation. They're not Christians. They just know what to say. They're not believers. Look, if you're not a Christian today, and maybe somebody bribed you to come here today, and you're saying, well, you know, I don't even want to be here. And the pastor, you're hitting the nail right on the head. Crazy people just like that. Hey, listen, number one, number two, number one, I'm glad that you're here, but listen, I actually agree with you. If you're not a Christian because of bozos like that, I wouldn't become a Christian either, if that's the exposure I've seen. The second thing is this, though. Keep this in mind. There's nothing about them that's like Jesus. If Jesus was like that, he would have had a black donkey with tinted windows. He was born in a stable, for crying out loud, not the Jerusalem Hilton. God came to earth wrapped in human skin. Now, you and I may be comfortable in our skin, but I think God putting on human skin, that's a step down. And I would suggest somewhat painful to the eternal God, who is spirit, who now is draped in human flesh. Jesus knew cold, he knew hunger, just like you and I do. So today, listen, in light of all this, we're looking at a message entitled, How to Get Rich Quick. How to get rich quick, and it's not, the answer is not what you think. You can get rich today, no matter what your financial status is or is not in life, you can get rich quick today if you'll listen to what the Bible has to say about what true riches are and how you can have an absolute transformation in your life. And so, as we look at this, I'm going to ask you to keep this in mind. In Luke chapter 10, verse 17, by way of introduction, Luke 10:17, it says there in the Bible, then the 70 returned with joy. Let me explain that. Jesus first sent out the 12 disciples. They went out ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit. They were anointed by God and they did great things. In fact, Judas was among them, which is freaky and eerie, but they did great miracles and they came back. And then as the ministry is expanding, the next sending out is the 12 plus, or in total, 70. 70 disciples went out and did miracles. And look, it says in verse 17 that they said to Jesus, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Wow. So watch this. And he, Jesus, said to them, which is an interesting response. He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Isn't that a weird response? What's the translation to that? While you guys were ministering, doing my Father's business, your ministry service and that opportunity landed a right punch to Satan's face. I like that. You say, where's that in the Greek? Is that in the Hebrew, Greek? What is that? That's in the Jack. I think when we serve the Lord Jesus Christ as he told us to do and we obey him, I think it puts a dent in the kingdom of darkness. I like that. We can absolutely counter the kingdom of darkness when we obey him. Verse 19, he says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy. Listen to that. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. I'm glad you guys are all pumped up, but don't be pumped up about that. Rejoice in this, that the spirits, not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Isn't that interesting? By the way, if you're going to unpack this and study it at great length, the word of Jesus implies that there are those who can do miracles whose names are not written down. They're counterfeit miracles. Jesus said miracles are not the definer. The defining thing is your name written down in heaven. That's what they should be happy about. Amen. That's quite a sobering thought. Verse 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and he said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. The truth of the matter, church, is this. The last thing that you and I want to be, need to be, the last thing the world outside these walls need to see is theoretical Christianity. Christians who know all the verses, Christians that talk Christianese, but we do nothing about it. We don't need any more theologians. I thank God for theologians, if they're biblical theologians. We all want to be theologians. That's the study of God's word. But after we study the word, what do we do with after we've studied it? And again, we don't need to hear about it anymore. We need to do what we have come to learn.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And so this is vitally important to see a radical difference. So here's our first point, verses 10 to 11, is how to get rich quick. How does that happen for the believer? Well, here's your number one way on how to get rich quick is to look for God-ordained opportunities that are around you, church, all the time. God-ordained opportunities. And note this, that they are supplied by God for you. Say, what do we mean by that? Verse 10, but I rejoice. The apostle says, I rejoice, super rejoicing, super glad of heart. My heart's overflowing in the Lord greatly. Megos. Mega. That now at last your care, this is your tender love, your practical Christianity for me has flourished. The word flourished is budded forth like plants in springtime. That's what that word means. when spring comes, there's an explosion of life. He says, your care has been flourished or revived again for me, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. What in the world is he talking about? He's talking about this fact that, remember, church, Paul's in prison. Remember, he's in Rome. The Philippian believers, they're in Macedonia, many, many hundreds of miles away. Great trek, by the way, to make it from Philippi to Rome. It would take a great amount of weeks, maybe even dependent upon the weather, a couple of months. And so Epaphroditus goes to them and brings the letter, and there's a returning back, and Paul is delighted because when Epaphroditus, his co-laborer, comes, he's bringing gifts of love and acts of Christianity physically with him to Paul. Number two, this is a shock for us who live in the West. If you were arrested and imprisoned in Rome, by the way, it's still popular in some former Soviet satellite nations of Eastern Europe. It's still true today. Listen, what I'm about to share with you is true in many South American countries and Central America. If you're imprisoned, the prison system imprisons you. They don't feed you. Did you know that? You're dependent upon people bringing you food. You better have a family or friends who will bring you food, or you will rot and die in that prison. Paul obviously has been there for months, so that means he must have friends visiting him. The second thing is, which is the context of our study, Epaphroditus brings him blessings from Philippi. The church heard about Paul's arrest and position, and they did something about it. That's Christian love. Nobody sat there and said, now let's discuss the theological ramifications of where is God in suffering? Somebody said, we all know what it's like to suffer. In fact, Philippi was once a wealthy place and they were going through a time of poverty. And yet the church still responded. You might say today, Jack, how does this apply to my life? If you're a Christian today, it is as certain as the sun will set in the west. If you're a Christian today, if we'll open up our eyes, God has set today, and I challenge you, and me too. We'll just hold each other accountable. Today, before we lay our head down, there will be an opportunity provided by God where God will use us as the supplier to someone. They came to bless Paul. How does that apply to us? The same Holy Spirit that is in them and that is in Paul is in you. There's needs abounding everywhere. We are to respond. We're Christians. Don't come to church and just punch the clock. I tell you this over and over again. After you hear this message, get up and get out there, and maybe you want to spend half the day, a quarter of the day, the rest of the day, hunting people down to display some random act of kindness or love in the name of Jesus. Today, many millennials don't want anything to do with churchianity. I agree with them. They say the church just comes together and accomplishes nothing. I agree with them. I wouldn't go to that church if that was your experience. Find a church that is doing something in the faith to honor the name of Christ, to spread the gospel, but all along the way, it's practical. You with me? In fact, can I say something? I'm not running for office, but this sounds political. I believe that one of the great embarrassments in the United States of America is the welfare system that is operated by the United States government. It is an insult to the church. It's disgusting. And it's pathetic. You want to know why? That's our territory. But the church, I don't know, the church has been so vacant that for decades, you and I pay big taxes. Watch. Because it doesn't work. You and I pay big taxes to the welfare system that instead of getting people equipped and find their life to live again, they just nurse the system to death, to their death. The system's going broke. It's actually technically broke. And no one's any better. Why? Because the government cannot give you God. In fact, it's a tool of the government to keep you on their bloodstream, so to speak, to in some ways control you. The church, if it's filled with the Holy Spirit and is going to decide, I'm going to do the word of God. By the way, the church in each community, think about that. Well, our church is only 10 people or 10,000. Who cares? You think Jesus cares? You don't have to be a church of 10,000 people to do anything. All you have to do is be a church of one or two people. and you act out your Christianity with practical deeds. Not because God's impressed or you're trying to impress God and so you'll go to heaven, but because you are going to heaven, you want to make a difference before you leave here. Paul is being ministered to by the love of people so far away that the travel time would be equivalent to maybe you and I trying to get down to the Antarctic or something. It's that far away, and they did it anyway. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, listen to this, Galatians 6, 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, there you go, open your eyes, look for the opportunity, starting today, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. You heard the announcement today, and you guys are amazing. Seriously, I'm not just saying this. You heard the announcement today, happens every year for the last 25 years. An announcement is made, you guys respond. People who are hurting in this church will have a Thanksgiving or a Christmas. Amen. And at school time, parents that can't afford it, their kids get backpacks. In fact, you know what you did last time with back to school? With back to school, you guys supplied so many backpacks with so much school materials that we didn't have enough kids. So we turned around and got them out to other churches so that they could bless their communities where they're at. You did that. You did that. Jesus said, don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. But I'll give you a little bit of a snippet. Downtown Los Angeles, you're helping there. Watts, you know Watts? It's notorious. You're helping a church there make a big difference. You're feeding gang members in the name of Jesus. Who would do that? Amen. You don't even realize, well, I just put $10, Pastor, in the offering. What can 10 bucks do? Are you kidding? 10 bucks with thousands of people? Absolutely transforms people. How's that? How can 10 bucks make such a big difference? Because that 10 bucks is wrapped in a burrito, so to speak. And it's given in the name of Jesus, and the gospel is given. Literally. You make a difference around the world. You have affected Russia for decades, Germany, China, Macau, Mexico on a continuous basis. I'm delighted. I got to tell you right now, God is my witness. I'm delighted. On the day of judgment, you're going to stand up there and God is going to unfurl all of your investments that you made in the name of Christ. And some of it is monetary. And you put that dollar in there and you wonder, well, that must just evaporated and who knows whatever. Oh, guess what? You're going to find out that on the day of judgment, it was put together and it was handed over and it took care of somebody in northern Iraq that's rescuing women from ISIS. And you say, I didn't know that. That's why I'm going to be like, yes! Woo! Pumped about that. Acts of kindness, acts of love from the beginning of the very opening moments of the Christian church from the day of Pentecost. Are you aware of the fact that for the bulk of the first century of believers, did you know that predominantly they were mostly slaves that became believers in Christianity? Did you know that? They were mostly slaves. They had nothing. And then they were granted everything in Christ. How do you get rich quick? It's a decision that you make today to take your life, your flesh, your very skin, because you name the name of Jesus, you're a Christian, you're a follower of Christ, that you're going to do Jesus things. It's amazing if you think about that. We ought to go out on a manhunt and attack people with love. The next time we go down that freeway off ramp and there's somebody there with that sign, I know what goes on in your mind. The same thing goes on in my mind. That guy probably drives a Mercedes. That dude, that guy's probably milking people he probably makes more money per hour than, you know what I'm saying? You know what? Guess what? You know why we say that to ourselves? I'm going to tell you something about you, because it's the same thing about me. To comfort our apathy. To comfort our decision to not get involved. You say, well, what if the guy's going to use it on drugs? Who are you to decide that? What if? You know what the Bible says about Christians need to be careful how we treat strangers? Because it says Christians have treated strangers not knowing that they were actually angels that appeared. God test us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. here on Real Life Radio with his message called How to Get Rich Quick Part 1. Thanks for being with us today, and our hope is that you allow God to build in you a Christ-like character in the midst of your suffering. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. We all know how tough life can be, so how do we make it better, richer, and filled with more joy? Check out our current featured resource called Knowing God by J.I. Packer. Once you dive into the nature and character of God, you'll begin to feel the freedom that you've longed for. Knowing God explores the profound meaning of the Christian faith and guides you towards a deeper personal relationship with God the Savior. Knowing God by J.I. Packer is yours for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.